When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come in to Vern's postgame show.
God, a home run! A three-run homer for Salvador Perez!
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Here's Royals insider Josh Furnier.
All right, good evening. Royals lose a heavyweight fight. 7-6, the final score. Detroit comes to Kansas City and takes the opener. Let's talk about it. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. That's our text line number as well, and if you were one of the near 19,000 in the building, you're not going to have to wait on hold. We'll get you right to the front of the line. Again, the phone number, the text line number, 913-586-7965. I think I've been pretty honest with you since the last time we met up at Kauffman Stadium when the Royals were finishing off that three-game sweep of the Minnesota Twins. I've been forthright since then, right? That three-game sweep against the Twins, since then, buddy, I've had my feet up. Because this team, since they achieved what I wanted them to achieve in that 20-game stretch against only playoff teams, once they hit that goal that I set for them in that 20-game stretch, man, the postseason seems as if it is a foregone conclusion. So, yeah, my feet have been up. I'm having a good time. I had a nice time tonight. That was an entertaining game. That was a fun game. Sure, disappointing to see the boys come out on the losing end. But this team's playing with house money from here on out, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying you can't be disappointed as you drive home after an exciting 2+ hours, but a disappointing finish. No, there's no problem with being disappointed. Some of you may be frustrated, but it's not something that's going to last until the morning, right? When you wake up tomorrow and you remember Cole Reagans is on the hill for game two, are you still going to be frustrated with this one? Are you still going to be bothered by this one? Now let me know. 913-586-7965. Maybe I'm off base. Maybe there's something in this 7-6 back and forth affair that I'm not noticing, that I don't realize. It speaks to something bigger. If you see it, please help me out. 913-586-7965. Okay, so the Royals lose. They're now 13 games above 500, and normally on the postgame show, after a loss, we're looking for a culprit. Now, who are we going to lay this loss at the feet of? Now, yesterday I fell short. I wasn't able to place blame at the feet of anyone in that series finale loss to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, yesterday I thought Pittsburgh had the game-changing defensive play. I thought the Pirates had the game-changing base-running moment. Now, those are two things that are normally the pride of the boys in blue, right? Base running, defense, starting pitching. Unfortunately, yesterday, those three things fell just short. And today, man, the culprit is Seth Lugo, but come on. Yeah, his second shortest start of the season, I think he's earned being picked up. And Seth Lugo gives up four earned runs in 4 2/3 innings of work. Again, a subpar performance from an all-star righty, a guy that came into the night with numbers that tell you he's one of the five best right-handers in all of Major League Baseball. So he turns in his second shortest start of the season. And I'm looking at the offense. Offense needs to pick him up. Bullpen, somebody needs to pick up Seth Lugo and make sure he's not saddled with the loss, to make sure that he's not the focus of our post-game attention. And I think, for the most part, well, he certainly wasn't picked up, but I can't imagine that, even though he is the reason why this team fell short tonight, I can't imagine that there is any ire being directed at the Royals' 33-year-old right-hander, a guy that's going to finish top 5, top 10 for the American League Cy Young. Now, for those of you I already see, oh, Vern, they got to win this game come October. These are the type of games they need to win in October. Yeah, I agree. But it is September 16th. It's not October. I agree. These are the type of games that this team is going to find itself in 2 weeks. And I would love to think that Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha and Cole Reagans and Brady Singer, that these guys throughout the postseason are going to take the ball and give you 6-plus innings of shutdown stuff every single night. But come the postseason, you're only facing scrappy, talented offenses. You know, I'm not saying you celebrate a final line of 4 2/3 innings, 4 earned runs on 8 hits like we saw tonight from Seth Lugo. My point is, what are we worried now? We're worried about October because of Seth Lugo? Because the offense had opportunities and they didn't capitalize on all of them? Right, 4 for 11 with runners in scoring position tonight. It's not awful, not outstanding, but it's certainly not awful. Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. You've known it since May, June. We've known it for a while. This team is only going to go as far as Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Cole Reagans, and this starting staff allow them to go. Now, postseason, sure, it's a different story. It's a different game come October. But as we've learned over the first 151 games of this season, this is a team led by starting pitching, defense, and base running. And tonight, the starting pitching was subpar. The starting pitching fell short of the standard that it set for itself and the base running. You know, Garrett Hampson, you're on this team right now as the second pinch runner. Now, Dairon Blanco's the big dog coming off the bench. But Garrett, I need you tagging up there on Bobby Witt Jr.'s opposite field fly ball in the seventh. Now, you're the speed guy. I understand you don't want to make the third out at home plate, especially with Salvi coming up. Man, I've been going back and forth on that one all day, but I really wanted Hampson to go. I can't get down on him too much. Again, I can't really get down on much in this 7-6 Royals loss to the Tigers. I mean, my game notes say more about the Tigers' offense than they do Seth Lugo. You know, the run that they scored in the fourth inning, credit to Detroit, credit to the Sweeney kid for not punching out against Seth Lugo. You know, the Tigers in the fifth score three as they refuse to sulk after the Royals put another run on the board in the fourth. You know, more quality at-bats from the Tigers in the sixth inning turn into another three runs and a lead that they would hang on to over the final three innings of the game. All right, let's go to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. Ron was in the building. Ron was one of the near 19,000 to take this one in. Ron, what stands out to you?
Well, I was there, and there were a lot of good things, and I don't have any disappointment with any player or the team. Overall, it's just been such a phenomenal year. I'm still excited about it, but my disappointment would be broader and probably more personal. I have a quarter season ticket package. I already have my playoff seats assigned. And so if you look at the odds, I would like the Royals' chances of going deeper in the playoffs if they had a home game, because they've been so good at Kauffman. And if you finish in the second or third wild card spot, you go somewhere else for three wild card games. And then, you know, it's longer odds playing three on the road, and maybe you make the playoffs and not even have a playoff game at the K. So I don't want that. I'd rather see them finish wild card one or win the division, get a start at the K and move on. And, you know, who knows what could happen? This team could win the World Series with its pitching, but I like the odds better if they're playing at home.
Yeah, I think everyone would agree with you on that. Appreciate the phone call, Ron. Royals now five games back of the division-leading Cleveland Guardians. Five back with only 11 to play. That's going to be an arduous task. But as far as guaranteeing a home playoff game, well, then your sights right now are set on the Baltimore Orioles. They were not in action tonight, so the Royals lose a half game to Baltimore. They now sit 2.5 back of the O's. But with the tiebreaker, it's might as well be 3.5 games back of Baltimore. Thanks for the phone call. Now, as far as the Royals' postseason hopes, the postseason invite that they currently possess, they maintain a four-game cushion, protecting that postseason invite, a four-game cushion over the Detroit Tigers. But again, with the tiebreaker, that's basically a five-game cushion over the Detroit Tigers. The Royals' magic number to clinch a playoff spot remains 8. Any combination of Royals victories and Tigers defeats that add up to 8, and you, my friends, are about to dine on October baseball. Tonight, though, you dine on an L as the Tigers hand Kansas City its 69th loss of the season. The boys still sitting a pretty 13 games above 500. Let's go to Scott. He was in the building as well tonight to see his boys fall just short. Scott, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling okay, Vern. I think this team goes as far as its bullpen allows it to.
Okay.
Yep, but I have questions for you. We were at the game. We could not see what happened to lead to Vance Wilson getting tossed. That's question number one. Question two is, how many games has Adam Frazier started or played at third base this year? Thanks. I'll listen offline.
Okay. Appreciate the phone call. First of all, this team, let me write all that down so I don't forget. I tend to be long-winded, and then I forget what you asked. Okay, so this team's only going to go as far as the bullpen allows it. I don't like that. Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, if your overall point is a team's only going to go as far as its weak link allows it, okay, sure. But we could say that about every single team that's going to the playoffs, because there is not a perfect team. Houston, San Diego, the Dodgers might be the closest thing to. But the Dodgers' rotation is shaky. Yeah, I mean, if Houston's lineup stays healthy, okay. Sure. If we want to highlight the weak link, then that's certainly the bullpen. Although, now the bullpen that we've watched a majority of this season is not the bullpen you're going to watch in a couple of weeks in October. Again, and I don't want to get on my soapbox, but it's partly why I hate the new playoff formats and have for years. It's just a completely different game now. Now, you play 162 a certain way, and then the postseason shows up, and it's a completely different sport. Well, not a completely different sport. It's the same sport, but it's a completely different game. Let's put it that way. You know, looking at the guys that came out of the bullpen tonight, Sam Long, John Schreiber, James MacArthur, Carlos Hernandez, and Angel Zerpa. Of those five, maybe two are on the playoff team? So, really what you're saying, Scott, is this team will only go as far as its pitching allows, and that's every team. That's playoff baseball. That's the name of the game. Now, how many good pitchers do you have? And how many hitters that hit good pitching consistently do you have? That's normally what the postseason comes down to. So, how many good pitchers do you think the Royals have? Including their relievers. Add them up. I think you can go with five, maybe six. That's not too shabby. That's certainly not shabby for a three-game series, which right now it looks like the Royals will be playing, maybe in Baltimore, maybe here. But it starts up in 2 weeks from tomorrow. Yeah, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, the three games of the best of three wild card series. Vance Wilson being thrown out in the game. Matt Quatrero described what happened. I'll let him explain that coming up in a moment. And I'll have that Adam Frazier statistic for you momentarily. But right now, let me go back to the phones and go to Will, who's leaving Kauffman Stadium. Will saw the Royals fall just short, 7-6, as the Tigers take game one of this three-game series. Will, how you feeling, buddy?
Hey, Vern, pretty good. I'll tell you what, just like you, I had a great time tonight. It was a loss. That stinks. But it was a great game. I was sitting there thinking after the game, man, we left a lot of runners on base. But then I thought, well, we scored six. Pitching wasn't there. It wasn't a terrible thing. It just wasn't there tonight. But I'll tell you what, I was a season ticket member the last couple years, and I never could have imagined us being in this spot right now. It's been amazing. I'm stoked. And just like a couple of callers before, I have the ticket strips for the postseason, and I'm just in seventh heaven like you. I do have one question for you, though.
Sure.
I don't like it when people gripe after wins, but I got to ask you what your thoughts are. Why do they keep putting MacArthur in? I just don't understand. We're at the point in the season where I don't understand why they're putting him in a game in serious situations where it's a one-run, close game, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Well, they're down at this point. It's MacArthur comes into the game and the Royals are down 7-6. So you've already gone through Sam Long and John Schreiber. You're likely saving Lucas Urseg in case you get the lead again. It's James MacArthur or Carlos Hernandez, I guess, in that spot. And if you prefer Carlos Hernandez, that's fine. Personally, I still lean James MacArthur. Now, sadly, he leaves the game with right elbow tightness. So hopefully that's nothing serious, but your worries about James MacArthur might be moot if that injury is serious. Furthermore, Will, one more thing on that. Again, to me right now, when you look at the playoff bullpen, there's only one spot open, and it's, John Schreiber, Carlos Hernandez, James MacArthur, all vying for that final spot in the playoff bullpen. Now, ideally, you have a bunch of confident relievers at the end of the season, and boy, it's tough to piecemeal together this bullpen. I understand what Q's trying to do with these relievers on the cusp of the postseason roster. You're trying to find one of them inject them with confidence, get them going a little bit, and maybe they can ride that into October. But it doesn't look like it's James MacArthur. It might be Carlos Hernandez. Six straight scoreless appearances for the big right-hander.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. A lot of people have been talking about the bullpen and how terrible it is. I've been watching all season. They've been building upon it. They've been doing well. Sometimes we trip up every now and again. But you're right when you say that our starting pitching is our strength, and we got to lean on that. But the bullpen's coming along for the most part. I'm just excited that we're going to be in the postseason this year, and everyone else should be too.
Yeah, I think most are, Will. I appreciate the phone call, man. Nice to hear from you. To go back to what Scott asked earlier, Adam Frazier tonight made his fifth start at third base this season, his second in the past 4 days. Frazier has reached base safely in 6 of his last 7 starts, 10 of his last 12 starts. Frazier draws a leadoff walk in the third inning and comes around to score on Bobby Witt Jr.'s third inning grand slam, his 32nd home run of the season. Royals jump out to a 4-0 lead in the third inning, only to see that lead evaporate. Royals blow a lead of at least 4 runs for the first time in more than 3 months. Wow. All right, phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. To expand on the point I was making to Will about the bullpen, right, for this wild card series that starts up in 2 weeks, you have your 3 starters, likely in Reagans, Lugo, and Waka. You're likely going to keep 10, maybe 11 pitchers total, so that leaves 8 spots in the bullpen. You know, Urseg, Long, and Bubich are going to be in that bullpen, right? Okay, so we're down to 5. If you want another lefty, let's throw Daniel Lynch in there. So now we're down to 4. Alec Marsh? Yeah, I want Alec Marsh out there. Brady Singer? Of course I want Brady Singer on that team. Okay, we're down to 2. Now let's see where Michael Lorenzen is. But maybe he grabs one of those spots. So again, you know, it's John Schreiber. It's Carlos Hernandez. It's Angel Zerpa. It's James MacArthur. Here's your opportunity. What are you going to do with it? Now, again, and MacArthur's coming in to face the bottom of the Detroit lineup. It's not as if he's going through the hearts of the Tigers 1-9. You know, Sam Long, John Schreiber, those are the guys that Q went to in the big spots in the middle of the lineup. I mean, if you're saying, hey, James MacArthur can't handle the bottom of the lineup, well, then it's time to make a move. Well, sadly, again, he leaves the game with right elbow tightness, so the move might be forthcoming. Maybe we see Steven Cruz back in the big leagues tomorrow. For game 2 of this 3-game series, Cole Reagans, Casey Mize go at it tomorrow. 6:40 for the first pitch right here on 96.5 The Fan. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show and your chance to win tickets to Friday night's game against the San Francisco Giants, the final Fireworks Friday of the season. Your chance to win those tickets coming up tomorrow on the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Luke in Prairie Village. Luke, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, thank you. I only dial in when I'm particularly all burning hot, and you are my baseball psychologist, so you put everything in perspective in the first 5 minutes opening monologue. So thank you. I'm cool now.
I could. I was kind of scatterbrained. I was pretty fired up after this one. I had a lot to say, so I'm glad it at least you understood what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I was all fired up too. I get two things. You say that we are pitching, defense, and team speed. I would throw in a fourth, situational hitting.
Sure.
I'm a little bit worried about our situational hitting the last month, but maybe it's recency bias. So if you could speak to that. And second, you mentioned that Hampson going home, that about broke my TV because I was like, you know, we got a fly ball going not deep to right field. The way the right fielder had to field it, he had to turn and wheel and throw home. So it's going to be really tough to make that throw. And you kind of blamed Hampson there I'm wondering, is that his call or is it third base coach and Wilson's out? So did that play into it? I don't know. But if you could speak to those two things, situational hitting, and then who makes the decision on going home from third?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. As far as the situational hitting is concerned, right, Royals for most of the season, number one in baseball, batting average with runners in scoring position. And I thought that they would take a colossal hit when they lose a guy, a clutch bat like Vinny Pasquantino. But, you know, early on, no, Yuli Gurriel was coming up with big knocks. Tommy Pham was coming through with big knocks. But no, of late, they've left something to be desired with runners in scoring position. Now, and I'm still a sample size guy. Bobby's still elite. Bobby tonight, 2-for-3 with runners in scoring position. Salvi, to me, is still a clutch bat. He went 0-for-1 tonight with runners in scoring position. You know what I think you've seen change? Tommy Pham coming through with runners in scoring position. He was doing it, he was 3-for-3. Three for his first three after joining the Royals. His first three opportunities with a runner in scoring position, he came through every single time. And since he went 0-for-2 tonight. So since Tommy Pham's 0-for-his-last-7 with runners in scoring position. You know, I've sat here plenty since, and listen, I've been on the roller coaster since this team lost Vinny Pasquantino. You know, the night he went down, you know, we thought Lucas Erceg may be down as well, so I was ready to cancel Christmas. Now, after Vinny went down, I was just begging this team to just hold on. I don't need you to win a lot of games. Just hang on. Just do what you can to get to the postseason. I don't care if you barely make it. They don't ask for your resume when you get to October. But then Yuli and Tommy Pham and Robbie Grossman and these guys were all pitching in, and it looked like the perfect trio to replace Vinny Pasquantino. Professional hitter in Yuli, a first baseman in Yuli, experience, a confidence giver like Vinny and a guy like Robbie Grossman. And then you were getting quality plate appearances in the first inning from one of your top three hitters. That was something, obviously, that was lost when you saw Vinny Pasquantino go down for the season. You know, that punch in the mouth. First inning, you're seeing Bobby and you're seeing Vinny in the first inning. Now, Tommy Pham was replacing Vinny's punch with a punch of his own. Now, you were getting Tommy Pham, Bobby Witt Jr., Salvador Perez in the first inning of every game. Deal with it. Now, Pham hasn't been giving those at-bats of late. Again, small sample size. The guy's only been here for a few weeks. Had a good stretch and now a rough stretch. So, honestly, that's where my finger is pointed right now. At the top of the lineup in Tommy Pham, 0-for-his-last-7 with runners in scoring position. And as far as the communication between Garrett Hampson and Jose Alguacil, the acting third base coach, man, I can't speak to that. I don't know exactly what was happening between the two of them. But normally there's an ongoing conversation. Some, you know, read it. If you like it, go. You know, I'm sure they each would take the blame if you asked. I understand both trains of thought. You know, sitting up in the press box, I wanted him to go. Right? You're the pinch runner. You're the third fastest guy on the team behind Bobby and Dyrone. You're in the game to grab that 90 feet. This team is all about pitching, defense, and base running. I want you to take charge and score that run. But I also have learned you don't make the third out at home plate. And you don't make the third out at home plate when Salvador Perez is coming to the dish. So I understand that's why I'm not going to harp, and I think it would be silly to harp all that much on that particular base running decision. Maybe I'm wrong. You let me know. 913-586-7965. Royals lose game one of the Tigers, 7-6, your final score. Royals lose back-to-back games for the first time since that seven-game losing streak. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's go to Roger in Lawrence. Roger, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, what's going on? Yeah, you talked about what I was going to mention. But anyway, yeah, Hampson tagged up, but he didn't go. That right fielder will make that play either one or two out of 10 times tops. Like,
he made it earlier in the game.
Yeah, no, he's not making – and you saw the throw. It short-hopped the catcher like 6 feet, maybe 10 feet to the right of home plate. Like, that's an easy run. We just botched. And also, MJ Melendez, first and second, no outs. And you got Blanco in to pinch run. And it's just – it's obvious. Like, you bunt. I don't care if he knows how to bunt or not. You bunt there. But we don't. He strikes out. Next player, double play, and it's game over. So this game was botched, and I don't understand why we're trying to sweep this under the rug. A playoff team in mid to late September does not lose this game at home, period. And this game was botched in so many ways. Q, has he said anything about what he did with Melendez in the eighth inning? Like, he's just going to let him hack away at that guy or what?
You wanted what did you want Q to do to MJ Melendez?
Bunt. First and second, no outs. You bunt. Yeah. Second and third, one out, and we're in business. But instead, he K's, and the next guy's double play. Game over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, you got it figured out, Roger. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks. You know, you talk about the throw home. You know, we're just talking about Garrett Hampson not going on the fly ball to right field. You know, you say the right fielder doesn't make that throw all that much. Again, earlier in the game, the right fielder made that exact throw. Right, Kyle Isbell on third, Tommy Pham fly ball to right field. Tigers right fielder made a perfect throw home that would have nabbed Izzy at the dish. So again, I understand what Hampson, what Aguacil, what the Royals are thinking. That dude's made the throw. Salvi's coming to the dish. Again, man, I'm with you, but to act as if this was botched and that's the game right there, I think you're viewing the game through Royals colored glasses. Maybe you need to step back a little bit, take a big picture look, watch other baseball games. Because like I said right out of the gate, yeah, do the Royals need to win a game like this in October? Will they need to? Sure, yeah, yeah. But it's not October, you know. It's September 16th. You have 11 games left. You know what they need to do in October? They need Seth Lugo to finish five innings, to allow fewer than four earned runs, to give up fewer than 10 base runners. You know? Seth Lugo, to me, is much more important than the base running of Garrett Hampson. And then the bunting, man, MJ Melendez bunting. Now, listen, the only thing he can't do is punch out. And he swings through a 100-mile-per-hour fastball from Bo Brisky and does exactly what he can't do. And, yeah, that's strikeout. I don't think the answer is calling for MJ Melendez to bunt. Doesn't mean I'm right. Maybe more people agree with you, and that's fine. You can let me know on the text line. 913-586-7965. MJ doesn't have a single sacrifice bunt in his entire career. A guy throwing 100, you're asking him to turn around and lay that bad boy down? Man, it might sound easy because we all played baseball growing up. We all bunted. But that's because we were all hacks. We were all 6 years old. They weren't throwing 100 miles per hour. You weren't squaring up to bunt against that. I mean, you have to be realistic here. You know what kind of player MJ Melendez is. Swing for the fences. Home runs, strikeouts. He's an extreme hitter. You know, do you think coming up in his career he was asked to bunt? Little league, minor league, triple A, big leagues? No, you would like for him to maybe start thinking opposite field, sure. But asking MJ Melendez to lay down that bunt, I can't get with that. Saying you can't punch out, you got to put the ball in play, I'm with you on that. Hit the ball to the right side. Do your job. But laying down a bunt, to me, is never going to be the job of MJ Melendez. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Nice hearing from you. Let's go to Shea in Overland Park. Shea, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Yeah, we were at the game. It was a good game, but just like the previous caller, I was thinking MJ button the whole time there in the eighth. And we had the tying run on first base, no outs in the previous inning, and I was maybe okay with Renfro not putting that bunt down. But we had first and second. MJ needs to, I still think, put that bunt down. Then we score or tie the game on Mikel Garcia's ground ball to deep second there. So,
a lot of assuming going on there. You're saying MJ gets the bunt down.
Right? Correct. Yes, I would like to see, and I think I would like to see more of our players across the MLB, right, in those situations. We've talked about Royals baseball being small ball. That's an opportunity right there. MJ doing something for the first time in his career, then putting a sacrifice bunt down to put the winning run on second base. But that's my opinion, I guess.
Hey, I like it. I appreciate it. Thanks for sharing with us. Always appreciate you listening, Shay. Thanks, man. Opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7965. Royals drop game one to the Tigers, 7-6 the final score. But like we've talked about all season, there's nothing. The thing I enjoy most about this team is the next day's starting pitcher. It's just tough to allow anything to really fester. Tough to be all that disappointed when you see one of the five best pitchers on the planet scheduled to toe the slab for the boys tomorrow night. Let's go to Michael from Liberty. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Michael, go ahead.
How you guys doing tonight? I hate to beat a dead horse, but I was calling in to talk about the eighth inning, you know, first and second, and MJ up there. I mean, golly, you got to – I know he's a free swinger and this and that, but, man – you know, we get in that situation in the playoffs or whatever. You know, it's a 7-6 game. You got to get the bunt down. Get to second and third. They're going to bring the infield in. Garcia's hit that he hit probably gets through. Instead of it's a double play. MJ's a liability at bat. I mean, I'm sorry. I've been pretty frustrated with him all year. It's either all or nothing with him. And if you're a Major League Baseball player, you can't get a bunt down in that situation. You know, that was a playoff game. Man, Vern, that's not good. It's not good. I don't know if there's anybody that we had on the bench, I can't remember, that we could have had batting up there that could possibly get the bunt down or has done it before. I can't believe what you said, that he's never, ever had a sacrifice bunt before.
Yeah.
That was the game right there. I mean, you know, and then we wrap into the double play, and that all the momentum we had in that inning's gone. You know, it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've watched a lot of baseball and played baseball in my life. I was frustrated. I thought for sure they would.
Well, you're obviously not the only one. You know, you're third in a row. So, hey.
Yeah, I'm just frustrated. I feel like that was a game we could have, you know, walked off or, you know, taken the lead, and then you got Ursae coming out in the ninth. And it was kind of a frustrating game tonight. I'm not quite as laid back as you were tonight. I was, I'm pretty positive we're going to get to the playoffs. But I also saw the Royals go on a seven-game losing streak a couple weeks ago. You know, who says that that's not in the books right now? Or, you know, it could happen. I mean, it's baseball. Anything can happen, so. Until we clinch, I'm not going to feel easy about anything. Maybe that's
no, that's fair.
Just my, I mean, I don't know. But,
no, that's fair.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of frustrated tonight.
Yeah, but it's coming across loud and clear. I got you. I appreciate the phone call, buddy. Thank you very much. Royals' magic number to clinch a playoff spot remains 8. 11 games to go. A 4-game cushion over Detroit, including the tiebreaker. 2.5 games back of Baltimore to guarantee a home playoff game. Royals drop the opener to Detroit, 7-6 the final score. We'll get back to your phone calls after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Burns Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
The pitch. Breaking ball hit high in the air. Deep to the left field corner. Green races back. He's out of the track. He looks up. It's out of here. Bobby Witt Jr. Grand slam. Oh, this place is going nuts. 4-0 Royals. In the bottom of the third on one big swing from the Royals superstar.
That's a great call, Jake Eisenberg, as heard here on 96.5 The Fan. A granny from Bobby puts the boys up 4-0 in the third, but Detroit was undeterred. They chipped away and chipped away and chipped away, and well, they came back and won this one. 7-6, Tigers take game one at Kauffman Stadium and keep their postseason hopes alive. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7965. That's 913-586-7965. Bobby Witt Jr., 2-for-4 on the day. He drives in 5 runs, giving him 108 on the season. That's top 5 in baseball, and only 10 players in franchise history have driven in more than Bobby has this season. Let's go to Rick, who was one of the near 19,000 in the building. Rick, how you feeling, buddy? I really appreciate you hanging on. Go ahead.
Vern, I don't know. I want to ride the Melendez thing, and I know that everybody has made, a bunch of people made comments. I generally agree with it, but I really believe that the fault lays with the manager. When you take a look at Melendez, and I believe the statistics bear me out, Salvi has more strikeouts than anybody else. I think Bobby may be second, but I know that Melendez is in the hunt, except he's about 200 at-bats less than those gentlemen. My position is he isn't even up there. He is a strikeout artist. He can't make contact. I'm not going to ask a guy that's never bunted in his life to bunt, but we had DeGrom. We have all sorts of people on that bench who are contact people, and I would rather, and I don't care if Melendez is left-handed and the pitcher was right-handed, I want somebody to make contact, and Melendez isn't the guy. The history is he isn't the man. It should have been somebody else. And I don't care where they were comes. DeGrom's there. These guys we brought up in the ninth inning to pinch hit are there. I don't understand it. I just don't understand how you could possibly put him in that position.
We have you down. I appreciate the phone call, Rick. Thank you very much. Yeah, Robbie Grossman comes in to pinch hit in the ninth. Paul DeJong didn't come in as a defensive replacement until after that bottom of the eighth inning. All right. Okay. I have you down. Thank you very much, Rick. Nice to hear from you. Let's go to Al in Overland Park. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Put me in the same camp, Burns.
Okay.
If you're not going to have MJ Bunt in the bottom of the eighth, then you got to try a double steal. And I agree with your last caller, Rick. I think it's the manager's decision. A bunt is called for in that situation. And if you don't have confidence in MJ Melendez, then you got to put Grossman up. Or you put Freddie Vermeen up there and try to get a long ball. Try to get the ball in play. But Melendez is not the guy that you want in that situation. He's not going to come through.
All right. All right. Thanks, Al. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, okay. You guys are making the same point. I'm sorry I don't have much more to add. Let's keep it going. Let's go to Mike in Kansas City. Mike, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yes, Dave Byrne. I think we're missing the obvious here. I don't think it was Melendez. I think it was Q putting the hold on Blanco. He should have been at second before Melendez even came up, and he definitely should have been at third after. We still had one out. And even if he was at third with Melendez, that eases the pressure on Melendez. All he's got to do is get a ground ball or a fly ball.
But that's all he
had. Okay. I just think Q's getting conservative here.
Well, all he needed to do was get a ground ball or a fly ball to begin with. So what does it matter?
Exactly. Blanco would have been at third, all he needed was a fly ball.
That's all he needed to begin with. Even with Blanco on second, you just got to put the ball in play. You know, the only rule is put the ball in play. You got to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. But with Blanco's speed, he's usually already at third with nobody out. I mean, once Matthew got on, he should have been at third. And all righty.
All right. We have you down. All right. So appreciate the phone call, Mike. Nice to hear from you. 913-586-7965. I got to be honest, I'm pretty surprised with this postgame show so far. Not disappointed. I'm loving the passion, loving how you guys are staying locked in. But I asked at the beginning, you know, I told you, man, my feet are up. It's house money from here on out in my world. But I asked you, hey, did something happen in this game tonight that you think is cause for concern, that a light needs to be shined on this, and this is something that is going to ultimately bite this team? You know, I didn't think so. And I thought this game was pretty succinctly summarized by looking at Seth Lugo's final line. 4 2/3 innings of 4-run baseball. Yeah, I would imagine the Royals don't win that game. A team that receives a quality start in nearly 50% of its games, that's how they've won a majority of their games. But MJ Melendez, once again, the whipping boy on the postgame show, really been that way all season. Guys are quick to turn on MJ, and look, I'm certainly not defending him. But wow, yeah, okay, so now Q as well. You guys are telling me that this is something you're worried about sinking the ship in October. Like, the reason why the Royals lose in October is the manager is MJ Melendez? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm surprised to hear it with 11 games to go in the season. You know, well, I said it right out of the gate. You know, are the Royals going to need to win a game like this to win a World Series? Yeah, yeah, no doubt, for sure. They're going to need to win a game like this in October. But it's not October. That's what I don't understand. Unless you're concerned that they're not going to the playoffs, or you can actually envision yourself frustrated with this team. See, I can't. Because, again, to me, they're playing with house money. I just don't know how, come October 1st, I'm disappointed in this team. Because they're not a perfect team. No, they're not a better playoff team. No, they're a playoff team. Playoffs. They don't win the World Series. They don't win the Wild Card Series. Man, you're just not going to hear me complain. And I'll be shocked if the Royals bow out of October. Well, actually, I won't be shocked. If you guys, you know, I identify one player and say it's on him, I guess I won't be shocked by that. That's the nature of sports radio. That's the nature of post-game shows. But the reason why you win is the reason why you're going to win or lose. Lugo, Reagans, Waka, Salvi, Bobby. No. These are the guys that are going to lead you to victory or are going to allow you to fall just short. You want to put it on MJ? Fine. You know, Bobby had a chance. Salvi had a chance with a runner in scoring position in the seventh. Now, Seth Lugo had a chance to finish the fifth. You know, if you're telling me that MJ's been this guy all year, well, then how are you so shocked that he's this guy tonight? Bobby's been an MVP all year. I needed him to be an MVP in the eighth, or excuse me, in the seventh. Salvi's going to Cooperstown. I needed him to be a Hall of Famer in the seventh. Seth Lugo's going to finish top 10 for the American League Cy Young. I needed him to be a Cy Young Award candidate in the fifth. But you guys want to put it on MJ? Okay. Royals lose 7-6. We'll take our final quick timeout. Head inside that clubhouse and get back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball in Kansas City. 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Here's the 0-1 and a swing and a bouncer to the right side. Here comes Isbell home. The first baseman will take a throw from the pitcher. Safe at first as Bobby runs, scores. And it's an infield hit and an RBI for Bobby Witt Jr. The contact play was on. Bobby dribbled it up the first base line. Base hit for Bobby. As soon as the ball hit the bat, Kyle Isbell was racing home, and he scores the sixth Royals run. It's a 6-4 Royals lead.
That's as good as it would get. 6-4 after... Listen, that's why Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting .332. And so long as that speed sticks around, that's why he'll hit north of .300 for the foreseeable future. Again, the speed of him bearing down the first baseline caused Detroit reliever Brendan Hanafee to fumble the ball and couldn't get it out of his glove quick enough to get Bobby at first, even though the grounder took him darn near to first base. Just fumbled it because he knew the fastest dude on the planet was burning down the first baseline. Bobby also with that RBI single there in the fifth inning. Base hit number 200 on the season. The eighth player in Royals franchise history to collect 200 knocks in a season. After the game, he spoke about it to Bally Sports Kansas City.
It's pretty cool anytime you do that, but obviously want to win those games, and so, yeah.
What do you guys have to do to bounce back?
Do what we always do, just be ourselves and flip the page and learn what we did, learn what we need to do better, and move forward.
What kind of momentum does it give you guys when you're able to get that grand slam early on?
Yeah, anytime we get runs with Lugo on the board pitching, it's what we need. And so, yeah, so it was great. Just kind of get a little momentum there.
You hit that ball particularly high. Did you still feel like you got enough of it?
Yeah, I just didn't know if it was going to stay fair or not.
What's kind of the conversation between you guys after a game like this, you know, knowing that you come back out and play again tomorrow?
Same thing we've all been doing all season, just learn from it, move on, and get back to being ourselves and wake up tomorrow, new day, another opportunity, but really just kind of get back to our game, doing the little things right and just taking it pitch by pitch and controlling what we can.
Do you feel like you guys left a few opportunities out there late in the game to kind of knot it up there?
Yeah, you can go back and look at a lot of different things and say that, oh, should have done this, should have done this. But at the end of the day, we lost, and we got to move forward and learn from it.
Bobby, look, you were out there near when Vance was in an argument with them. What were you hearing? What was going down?
I didn't really hear too much, but, yeah, the umpire threw him out a little early, and so then, yeah, so...
There you go. That's Bobby Witt Jr., who, with that 2-for-4 performance, raised his batting average to Major League Best .332. That grand slam and that RBI single raise his OPS to .984. That's the second highest OPS in all of Major League Baseball. Our nightly Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. I mentioned Bobby's grand slam. That was extra base hit number 86 on the season, which matches Hal McRae's single season franchise record, which was set 47 years ago. Congratulations to Bobby Witt Jr., who is also just 2 total bases away from matching George Brett's single-season franchise record, which was set back in 1979. Ladies and gentlemen, we are witnessing the greatest season in Royals history, the greatest season this building has ever seen, and quite likely the greatest season any shortstop has ever put together for any team in Major League Baseball history. He's the MVP. Whether he wins it or not, he's deserved of the American League MVP. All right, let's go to Buzz. He was one of the near 19,000 in the building tonight. Buzz, what stands out to you?
Hey, Vern. Well, what stands out to me about this post-game show is it's feeling a little weird. I wasn't expecting all this negativity and scrutiny.
You should see the text line.
At the game?
Holy cow.
Oh, man. I bet. Nah, but what stood out to me at the game was you see Bobby Jr. hit a grand slam in person. I mean, that's worth the trip that's to the cool. K right there for me. But I want to speak to those decisions everyone is talking about. You know, you want MJ to bunt. Well, let's say he pops it up and Mike Hill hits that grounder. He hits a double play anyway. I mean, then what are people saying, you know? And it's also you don't send him home from third. We saw what happened in Pittsburgh when we sent him home from third. You know, people are feeling a lot different if that, you know, if he gets thrown out. And then, what was the third one, man? It was sending Dyrone to third. I mean, yeah, you want that base, but is it worth the risk?
Can I say this real quick, Buzz, and I'll let you finish your thoughts? Dyrone Blanco, I'm not trying to talk down to anyone, certainly not you, Buzz. Dyrone Blanco has a green light. You know, all the time, Dyrone Blanco has the green light. I mean, we saw him the last time they were here, stole third on a ground ball to third base. You know, Dyrone's always given the green light. He didn't feel confident, I'm guessing. He didn't see a spot to go to third, to second, while Hunter Renfroe was drawing that walk. To act as if, hey, bunt. Oh, okay, I'll bunt. Hey, steal the base. Oh, okay, I'll do. The other team's not trying to allow you to bunt, to steal that base. And sometimes, Buzz, it seems like some people, not you, seems like some people don't understand that the other team drives Range Rovers and Rolls Royces, too.
Yeah, well, last thing I want to say, I mean, I would love to have a time machine, take this back to opening day and play this for me on opening day. And man, yeah, I would be blown away because I would just expect a lot more positivity. You know, you lose one-run game, it's a shootout. Yeah. I mean, it's playoff time coming up. I'm not too worried about this one. Thanks for taking my call.
No, and nor should you be. And those that are panicking are just, to me, not equipped for the Major League Baseball season. I mean, I appreciate you listening. I really appreciate those that call in. But yeah, some of you are going to be eaten alive in October. You stand no chance. Or at least your ability to function outside of those 2.5 hours, you have no chance. If you're melting down after this loss, 151 games into the season, you stand no chance. Now, during the game, you'll be fine. But before the games, going into the games, after the games, you're not going to be able to do anything. Your husband, your wife, your kids, your job, you're losing one of them. I don't know which one, you're losing one of them. If this is how you handle a one-run loss to the Detroit Tigers, you're losing something you love. I'll tell you that right now. Let's go to Ed in Gladstone. Ed, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Yeah, Vern, I couldn't disagree with you more. We are frustrated out here in Radio Land listening to that game tonight. Wasted Bobby's grand slam, but in the 8th inning, let's try to have the man at least try to bunt. If he doesn't, then have him swing away. But when there's one out, Blanco, if he's got the green light, then he should have been trying to steal third base with double steal. We'd have still had a man on second base if they'd thrown him out. Still had a man in scoring position. And I'm not playing with house money. I'm wanting to try to catch the Guardians, and I think we had a good shot at it. But this was frustrating tonight.
Okay, Ed, I appreciate. Oh, golly, Ed, appreciate the phone call, Ed. I hope you're okay. Let's head back inside that Royals clubhouse. Let's hear what Seth Lugo had to say after his second shortest outing of the season. Here's the Royals all-star righty on Bally Sports Kansas City.
A tough loss. I thought I threw the ball okay. Commanded most of my pitches. I thought they had a pretty good approach and laid off some really good pitches. Obviously I'm going to pitch deeper than that. I think as a starter you should get through five. So, I feel like I let the team down tonight.
Some of those deeper counts, was that more of a consequence of their approach against you? Did you find they were a little bit more patient?
Yeah, I'll tip my hat there. A few times we came in the dugout a little frustrated. They weren't swinging some of the pitches that I was throwing. So, good on them on some of those pitches.
Just because those innings were long, how's that affect, as you get into the fifth inning, for example, when you have worked your pitch count up in those first four innings there?
If the more pitches they see, the better chance they got to put a good swing on a mistake. And, it felt like I only made, one or two mistakes tonight, one of them being the home run. But, I felt like I executed pretty well otherwise.
Is that a change up there for that home run?
Yeah.
Just mislocation.
Yeah, it was a little more part of the plate.
What kind of a, bounce did you get from even having the high pitch count when Bobby hit the grand slam? Does that kind of give you a little energy going back out there for the next thing? And is that kind of where the disappointment is, that you got a little lead stake to you?
Well, anytime they put up a big number in an inning, do my best to try to make it a quick inning. Unfortunately, we gave up the run there, but, I'm still pretty quick. So, hopefully when you do stuff like that, the offense can retain some of that energy they got.
There you go. That's Seth Lugo. 4 2/3 innings of four-run baseball. Tonight, Lugo became the 45th pitcher in Royals history to reach 31 starts in a season. Only 9 have posted a better ERA than Lugo's mark of 3.05. Only 4 have put up more strikeouts than the 173 put forth by Seth Lugo. He leads Major League Baseball in innings pitched, and that ERA is still top 10 in the sport. Well, those numbers I just gave you, Cole Reagans is going to make a run at all of them tomorrow as he becomes the 46th player in Royals history to reach 31 starts in a season. Cole Reagans squares off with Casey Mize coming up Tuesday night, 6:40 for the first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 5:30 live from Kauffman Stadium with your chance to win tickets to Friday night's game. The final Fireworks Friday of the season. You can get Blake Mitchell's autograph. Steven Zoback, get his autograph. Hey, thanks to JT Noah back at the studio. Thank you very much for all your hard work. I greatly appreciate the phone calls, Kansas City. Man, I hope y'all sleep tight. We got 11 more to go. And then the postseason. Smile, Kansas City. And the world will smile back. How about that? Shout out Tim Allen.